Amen. Hi there. Oh, yeah. Hello. Yeah, you are there. Good. Oh, it's like Wimbledon here. Going across. Okay. Yeah, this story, Acts chapter 3, let's have a look at it. If you've got a Bible or a phone with a Bible on it or whatever, there was a song I used to sing. I've got a Bible in my home. If I don't read and my soul be lost, then nobody's fault but my own. But now being seen, I got a Bible on my phone. And it still rhymes with own. Anyway, Acts chapter 3, I'll read the first bit. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He's laid there to ask alms for those who entered the temple. He, seeing Peter and John were about to go into the temple, asked them for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, leaping, and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and all filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Great story. It reminds me once when I was in Morocco, in Marrakesh, and I'd just been on one of these mission expeditions where they throw you out and with almost nothing, and they say, right, we expect you to be invited into somebody's home, and believe me, in that culture, hospitality is just one of the most amazing things. Much more than we are in Britain, I tell you. You know, Englishman's home is his castle, and he's got a fortress and a portcullis and all the rest. But out there, they invite you in. And so we'd done all that, and we arrived back in Marrakesh, and we were thinking, what are we going to do next? Because we got back a couple of hours earlier than we thought we were going to. And we were sitting in this park praying. And I thought, oh, our trip's nearly over, you know. I've survived it and doing all right. And then there's this guy walks by, obviously with one leg shorter than the other. And he's got real sort of clubby foot. And I think, oh, no. Do you get those oh, no moments? When you think, oh no, God wants me to go and pray for this guy. Why do I go, oh no? Because it's just pride. Because I might look stupid. And I should by now be used to looking stupid. I've done it all my life. But God's... I said to the other guys, a couple of friends of mine, and I said, I think God wants us to go and pray for that guy. So off we go. And, of course, they're speaking Arabic and French. And my French, which actually on a later occasion I had to pretend I didn't know, is pretty limited. Anyway, we managed by gesture and a bit of French to say, would you like us to pray? And all that, because it's very easy, you know, just go and pray for somebody. And he said, oh, no, I've been to the hospital, and yeah, this has been like this for a long time. I can't see anything happening. So I said, well, we'd like to bless you in the name of Issa, which is Jesus to them. And I said, all right. So we laid hands on him. We began to pray for him. And did he get instantly healed? No. But I tell you what he did. After we prayed for him, he took me by the hand and he walked me round the park to all the other cripples who were there, and we prayed for them all. And then the next thing that happens is this imam turns up, and he says through various interpretations, he says, "Are you an expert?" And I said, "Oh yes." I thought, well, I've been to the Ian Andrews Healing Weekend, and so I must be. So anyway, and in fact, one guy, we sat him down on a chair, and we saw his leg grow. Not the original guy, but another guy. And they said, "Oh, you must come back again." They said, "We're always here." So we went back two or three times, but there was no one there. So I don't know what God did. I don't know whether they all got healed and then got jobs and stuff like that and weren't begging anymore. I don't know. That's God's issue. Because there's not an awful lot we have to do. Allow God to do it. And when this beggar in the story looks at Peter and John and he's after his alms, he's expecting something. And the first thing Peter says, he says, I haven't got any money. Now, I was told I had to make this accessible, so I thought I'd really do that by adding a bit of Latin so that... Now, nemo dat quod non habet is a major principle in English law. If you've ever studied English law, it means... Does anybody know what it means? Yeah. It means you can't give what you haven't got. And in law, it means you can't give a better title to something than you already own. That's about all I remember from English law, studying it. But Peter says, "I'll give you what I've got." Now, I'm going to ask you to do the same. And we can look at Peter. What did Peter have? He had a lot going for him. He'd spent 3 years with Jesus. He'd done a couple of short-term missions trips, one of 12, one of 70. He'd had some very serious personal counselling with Jesus. He'd witnessed the transfiguration, the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus. He'd had 40 days post-grad course after the resurrection. And he'd been given a mandate for the world. So it's pretty heavy duty. And he witnessed the ascension of Jesus. After he'd been given his mandate, Jesus says, "It's over to you guys, hang about here, and the Holy Spirit's coming." And he had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, some of us, when we think about this, we concentrate on what we haven't got. So, I have here a couple of receptacles, which I'd like, Mavis, can you pass these, that one round? And Ruth, can you pass that one round? Now, what I want you to put in it is what you haven't got. Okay? Now, all the things that you can think that are stopping you because you haven't got them. Stopping you reaching out to other people. Now, can you pass it around? Now, you know, I'm serious. I want people to actually put in the things that they worry about that they haven't got. What haven't you got? Oh, Peter said, "I haven't got anything. I haven't got any money." Can you move it around quite quickly? Because it shouldn't take you too long because you haven't got it. Okay, it's got fairly quickly, and if you haven't seen the receptacle yet, perhaps I'll come and collect it. Mavis, can you bring the other one to the front if you got something right? Now, okay, now I will just demonstrate that these are empty because there's nothing there. So when we think of what we haven't got, it's absolutely zero because we haven't got it. But so often what stops us is we think, oh, I can't be like Peter. I didn't spend 3 years with Jesus. I didn't have the 40 days post-grad. I didn't go on 2 mission trips. I didn't come back. And I didn't watch him heal. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. But it's absolutely nothing. It's absolutely zero. So why do we worry about it? Why do we think so much about what we haven't got? What have you got? What have you got? Well, we have the name of Jesus. You see, the mandate that Peter was given, that all the disciples, probably about 500 people, were given, was go into the whole world. All authority is given to me, said Jesus. You go in my name. And, you know, I'm going to send the lawyer as a policeman. And if he's got his uniform on and he's got all the signs and the crown and his hat and all the rest. And also sometimes at work I get these letters and they have this portcullis on them. And I think, oh no, it's the VAT man. And they've got authority. They can come in. They can come into your company and they can search and everything. They've got incredible powers, probably even more powers than the police. But they come in the name of the Queen and the government. We have the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is name-dropping par excellence. Because there is no other name that is higher than the name of Jesus. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Anointed One. We have that name. In fact, it's like we got a blank check. Now Jesus said to his disciples, anything you ask in my name. Now, you know, just tacking Jesus onto requests really doesn't cut it. We need to be confident that what we're asking for is something that God would put his name to. Sometimes we, tack on, you know, I want £1 million in the name of Jesus. Have you tried that one? Yes, my wife has. Probably because she knows she won't get it from me. Try in the name of Andrew, wasted time. But Jesus gave a promise, and Jesus' promises are true. And we do have blank checks drawn on the bank of heaven. But we need to be sure that our prayer is inspired by God. Because prayer is a two-way thing. He gives us a prayer to pray. It's not just, you know, our idle thoughts and desires. He will give us the desires of our heart when our hearts are one with him. We, Christian, means little Christ. And the followers of Jesus were called Christians. And it meant, at the time, meant little Christ. They're just like Christ, but they're just ordinary people, but they're little Christ. You and I are little Christ. That's an awesome responsibility, but that's who we are. This is something we've got. We've got the name of Jesus. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us, in us, and on us. You see, we're no different from Peter. We heard about Peter and how he got filled with the Holy Spirit way back in Acts chapter 2. Oh, thank you very much, Ollie. Hey. And Peter, I've often said, heard it said, well, Peter was totally changed when the Holy Spirit came upon him. I disagree with that. I think Peter was fulfilled because God took Peter for who he was and he fulfilled him. You see, Peter stands up before the crowd and starts preaching. Peter was always the one who'd shoot his mouth off first, right? But now, with this new tongue in his head, because the Spirit came in the form of tongues, he was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit fulfills us. He makes us who we are. Sometimes when we think of what we haven't got, we think, oh, I wish I had the creativity of Mavis. I wish I had that special relationship that she has with God that I don't. And they said, that's something I haven't got. I've got my own relationship. I've got my own giftings and ability. Oh dear, I've been flicking it on. Let's go back. Holy Spirit fulfills us. What else have we got? If you look in Revelation chapter 12, there's a big battle. Satan cast down to earth, but he is overcome by the believers. And there are three things that they have. And the first thing is the blood of the Lamb. You see, the blood of Jesus is what covers our sin. We have no need to be lacking in confidence that we are complete failures, dirty, horrible sinners. We are no longer sinners. That is not our habit. Sometimes we sin, but it's not in our nature to sin anymore because we're covered by his blood. Now, the blood of Jesus was shed several times throughout his life. Going to start with from his birth, just after his birth when he was circumcised, he identified with his people and with the human race. He shed his blood in agony, sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. His back was ripped open for our healing and he shed his blood, his hands, his feet and his side. Which out of his side flowed water and blood, which is a reminder of what happens at birth. And at that time, I believe, that was the birth signs of the church being born. Out of the side, just like out of the side of Adam came the bride, Eve, so out of the side of Jesus came his bride, the church. So the blood of the Lamb. We have, Jesus has paid the price for our sin. So we no need to have that lack of confidence. Oh, you see, it says he gives us righteousness because he became sin for us. Secondly, the word of our testimony. We've got some good stories to tell. If you haven't got good stories to tell of Jesus, then you need to get some. How do you get them? By walking out in faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 it says, by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. If you want to have some good stories to tell, people come and say to me, oh, so you've got so many stories to tell, and I've got loads. But it's only because I've stepped out and taken risks. If you want to serve Jesus, you've got to take risks. You've got to live by faith. There's no alternative. But if you want to have a great story, and we need to be able, I can look back on that story. That was years ago. So many other things has happened since. And sometimes when we really are in a down place, we need to look back at those things that God has done for us to remind ourselves. You know, David says, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, do not forget all the benefits, all the good things that God's done for me already." And that lifts us back to a place. Oh, yeah, God, yeah, he did that. I remember that prayer when there was a double rainbow on Mount Ararat and all that sort of stuff. You may have heard some of my stories, but that gives the glory to God because he's a faithful God. Silver and gold have I none, but a currency for working with God is faith. That's our currency. And that produces a testimony. Here comes the crunch. Your life. It says, they conquered through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross. You've got to remember that there is a symbol of death hanging on you. But it's only a transition. If you are a believer, it's only a transition from this fairly average life to a glorious life. It's a transition from this time-space world into the presence of God. That's what death is. Jesus said, Luke chapter 12, if you want to look it up, he said, you know, all the devil can do is kill your body. After that, he's got nothing else. That's all he can do. Paul said, I die every day. He said, for me to live is Christ. Yeah, I'm living, but it's actually Christ living in me. Are we prepared for that? Because that's what else we've got. We've got our lives, and God will look after our lives. So, in the story, we have the result. Peter speaks the word, grabs him by the hand, lifts him up. Peter reached out to that man. Now, we often have to reach out to people to bless them with healing. I had this time, I have an allotment, and actually my daughter has the allotment, but I work it. And allotments are great places for socialising and bad backs and knees and all sorts of other illnesses. And I've prayed for a number of the people on my lot. I said, oh, my back's bad today. I said, would you like me to pray for it? And I've never been refused. You know, that sad story of the footballer. You read the comments from other footballers. I am praying for this man. It's amazing how deep inside the Bible says God has put eternity in man's hearts. And there is something in us that reaches out to God, even if we don't believe in him. But we do. So, yeah, a lady on the bus. I talk to lots of people. I'm a bit like that. You know, I get bored with my own company, so you can understand that. So I talked to other people, and I said, would you like me to pray for your shoulder? He said, oh, yes, please. And just lay hands, keep your eyes open, don't do anything funny or religious, you know. In the name of Jesus, God bless this woman. Set her free from the pain. That's what we've got to do. It's simple. And that's what Peter did, and he got a result. And I've seen people healed. God does the rest. He didn't say, you know, put an infusion of, you know, inject Holy Spirit in. No, just lay hands on them. and he'll do the rest. God put in the strength. And the man leaps up, man follows into the temple, walking, leaping and praising God, as we've all sung and done the actions. I won't ask you to repeat that. Where did it all take place? Outside the gates. I think that's an important thing to know. He wasn't in the temple, and it's great. We've had, God, when I was praying before about this time, I felt God was going to release gifts of healing. And it's so good to see the kids going around and praying. Do not, Jesus said, you know, let the kids get on with it. Let the kids get on with it. They haven't got all the trappings of things they haven't got. Like we have. But it took place outside the gates. And we need, but it wasn't far away. You know, I travel a lot around the world, but you don't have to go far. You can go down to Maidenhead, down the High Street. And what are we doing outside the gates? It's great. The thing with Easter and going around the Santa's thing we did, and I don't know how many, I don't know who's got the Easter Bunny job. Probably the person that's doing Acts 5. But anyway, you work that one out. What are we doing outside the gates? Well, there's the Larchfield stuff. Brilliant. Let's keep it going. Keep it going. You see, Rome wasn't built in a day, nor was Larchfield, nor was the kingdom of God. It takes time. Hacking away, chipping away. Hots, healing on the streets. Brilliant stuff. Get out there. Keep doing it. Join the team. I keep meaning to go, but usually it's the day when I do Street Angels. Now, Street Angels are, for another visual aid, here we go. This is my Street Angels jacket, which is a bit unnerving, because when you put it on, it does make a bit of a target. But we've seen out on the streets, and it's... You know, cross-cultural evangelism just doesn't touch this. For me, it's cross-culture. I mean, you know, I see a lot of ravers in here, but going into the night economy, as they call it, as the police call it, of Maidenhead. And then there's a lady there. We said, can we pray for you? She said, oh, I don't believe in God. I said, oh, well, we'd like to pray for you anyway. Why? So well, I'm angry with him. Yeah, she doesn't believe in him, but she's angry. And why are you angry? She said, well, 18 months ago, my 3.5-year-old daughter died. And they were hurting people out there. And so he said, would you like us to pray for you anyway? Yes, please. You see, the police want us to be out there because they believe it brings peace on the streets and the crime rate stops or reduces. And it's amazing what you can do with a lollipop. We've seen people squaring up to each other, you know, the guys all macho with load tanked up. And They're just about, you know, shouting at each other. I walk up and I say, would you like a lollipop? And they what? And all of a sudden, they're totally distracted. I say, oh, yes, please. So a guy with a lollipop stuck in his mouth does not look quite as macho as a... And just simple things like that. But being out there. Oh, dear. How did that happen? And also, recharge. They're doing great stuff. Reaching out to people who are in need. What's happened to my clever device? Anyway, Peter then gives an explanation. We haven't got time to read all that. I've got another minute. I won't read it all. But there's more name dropping. You see, we need to follow up the demonstration of God's power with an explanation of who God is. Don't let's hold back. You see, he dropped a few names, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to name but a few, then all the prophets and also Moses thrown in. A prophet come after the order of Moses. And I was thinking about that. Why was Jesus after the order of Moses? Now, what was the first public miracle of Jesus? What was the first public miracle of Moses? Water into blood. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't that show an affinity between God, Moses and Jesus? He was the greater prophet. I'm glad he did the wine. Anyway, so there was more name dropping going on. It gave substance to what had already happened. And he said, he didn't hold back. He said, think, repent, think again. He said, look, you lot put Jesus to death. Now, you know, this is not time for political correctness, obviously. And he said, but, he said, you're guilty, but you are ignorant. Now's the time for you to change. The invitation is open, and we can give that invitation as we go out. You see, the church is, I think it was an archbishop, someone said, the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Think about it. Don't give them half the story. Be prepared to preach the gospel. Be prepared to tell them about Jesus and all he's done. And use your testimony of the great things that God has done for you to reinforce it. So often, oh yeah, it's great we go out and see people healed. That's brilliant. But don't just leave it there. Don't just leave it there. Be prepared to, as people are amazed through the healing. Just say, this is God at work. This is God. You need to think about God again, repent, because it's times of refreshing. So I looked up refreshing. It's an adjective, jolly good. Serving to refresh or reinvigorate someone. Anyone want to be reinvigorated? Yeah. Well, just a few, yeah, everybody, nearly. Welcome or stimulating because new or different. That's refreshing. And I believe that God wants to bring his refreshing. He wants to bring gifts of healing. I'd like to pray for people at the end to receive refreshment. I'd like to pray for people to receive healing. We got prayer team as well who will pray. You don't want to, that's it. They're a nice picture of a time of refreshing. And it can be on the outside, it can be on the inside that we get refreshed. And what is the purpose of the time of refreshing? As it says in verse number 20. And that he may send Jesus. Times of refreshing in the presence of God, that he may send Jesus. And here's a nice picture. Every good talk should end with a sunset. And that is, for anybody wanting to know, that is Cable Beach, Broome, Australia. taken by me. So, times of refreshing that God may send Jesus. Jesus, the name above every name. Let's all stand and let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we have the testimony of Jesus. Thank you we have the testimony of Peter and John of what has happened here. Thank you, Lord, that we've seen people healed. But Lord, we long for more. We long to be stimulated, to be invigorated. We need new things to see your glory in this town. To see the name of Jesus. We pray that you send Jesus. And Lord, we realize that when you send Jesus, you send us. Because we are the body of Jesus on earth. So send us, Lord. But fill us with Holy Spirit power to do the works that you prepared for us to do. So, Father, I pray now, as I lift up my hands, you would fill this place afresh with your Holy Spirit. And those who are thirsty for you, you'll bring your refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen.